Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome back, everyone. Today we are joined by none other than Dennis Styles, and we are going to be talking about spread collar and extreme cutaway shirts because it seems like a lot of guys these days, they want to go for that look. So what do you think about it, Dennis? Let's dive into it. How's that sound?
Well, how's everyone doing today? Good to be back. Another segment of the life of a gentleman. Practically, you know, one of my favorite things to do every week. So it's always an honor, man, to be by doing this show by your side, my brother.
Yeah, we have a good time talking about fashion and how we can help guys improve. And I, you know, me and you were talking offline, and you were telling me how much that you really like the extreme cutaway shirts. So I thought we'd just talk about it. If guys haven't tried it, let's give them some reasons to step out of their comfort zone and try it.
All right. I mean, before we get to that topic, I just want to talk about shirts in general. It's very important that when I style my clients or just, you know, fashion people in general, that when it comes to dress shirts, you don't necessarily have to have a bunch of dress shirts with different patterns and prints. If you get the basic white, striped blue, maybe a little mix of color, either brown, olive, or I'm not a fan of black dress shirts. I can't remember the last time I wore one. I don't know if you have one, Rich, but it's very important that people understand that if you're trying to set up your collection of dress shirts, keep it basic, pretty much.
Yeah, that makes sense. The black shirt, that's kind of dead. At least I hope it is. Just another quick hit about shirts before you dive a little bit deeper. One of my pet peeves is the collar on these shirts. You got guys on Instagram and Facebook posting pictures, you know, nice suits, nice ties. And then you look at the shirt collar and that thing is so flimsy. I mean, it's just blowing in the wind. You have to get a quality shirt where the collar can stand up and actually frame your face rather than be all limp and falling down at the side. What do you think about that, Dennis?
Oh, man, I've seen it way too many times, and I totally agree with you. I mean, you could get collar straight. I guess some of the shirts come with it. The plastic ones don't work. I know you had them in one of your boxes, Richard, the metal collar straights, right? Those are pretty good, man. I actually still use them to this day.
Yeah, the metal collar stays, you have to use those. The little plastic ones, just throw those away. They're not even worth it. But the thing is, if you get a really good shirt, you almost don't even need it. If you just want to have that real polished look, go ahead and throw one in there. But I want to hear what you have to say more about these collars. And I love the points you made about the color, though, too. You don't need all these different colors of the rainbow. Really, when you talk about high fashion, you're looking at white shirts, blue shirts, and you let the accessories kind of pop and speak for themselves. You don't need a lime green shirt, you know, to match up with your gray suit. It doesn't make any sense.
I think the problem with the guys, too, is they tend to think that a shirt is something that you could get on sale. But they don't realize the whole concept behind it. You got to invest in a good collar. That's why it's very important that, like we were talking about earlier, the spread collar and the stream cutaway is something that you probably have to go with. It's a lot easier to maintain. Number one, it looks classier. It looks like you're very fashion forward and in tune with today's fashion. And not only that, but if you have an assortment of ties at home, they look better, man, when the collar is a little bit more spread out. Don't you think, Rich?
Yeah, it's more of a modern look for sure. Edgier look. And I think it accentuates if you have a really cool tie. It's a good way to make that tie stand out, you know, rather than doing too much with the shirt and then throw the tie on there. It's kind of boring, too, when you have just a regular collar. Sometimes it looks like you're just coming from the 9-to-5 office with the spread collar. Man, it looks like you're stepping out for a night out on the town.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a proponent of, you know, the pointier collars, only if you're just going to use them to button the top up or wear skinny ties. You need to build your shirt wardrobe and focus on the collars of the shirt. Make your shirt more modern, more, you know, you could wear them. Not only that, but it makes you look bigger, too, up top if everything is spread out. So you have more shoulders, your face doesn't look as round. You know what I mean, Rich?
No, you're exactly right. You look like you're more in shape, like you're built and kind of put together a little bit more substantial. You're kind of a slim guy. You put on that spread collar. You look more athletic than skinny.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And
if you're if you're a bigger guy, you look more muscular than fat. You know, so it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and one more thing about collars and ties in general. One pet peeve that I do have is if you're going to wear a tie, please tighten it all the way up. Don't loosen it up. Defeats the purpose. Just take it off if you're going to do that. Leave it on. That's the whole part of being a gentleman. You're able to eat in your tie and suit. You're able to have coffee in your tie and suit. You're able to have meetings in your tie and suit. And you're able to go out into town in your tie and suit properly tied all the way up.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, if you have a well-fitting shirt and you're tying your tie correctly, it's actually quite comfortable. I don't see the fuss sometimes when people say, you know, they have to unbutton their shirt. Maybe their shirt is not fitting properly if they have to unbutton it.
I agree. And listen, this is the other main key here when wearing the spread collar shirt or the string cutaway. If you actually do an open air tie, it even looks better because the shirt is facing up instead of going down. So your whole physique and your whole aura about yourself is so much improved just by the shirt, even if you have it tied or if you have it open.
Oh, so you're saying with the spread collar shirt, it sits up higher, so you can actually wear that without a tie.
Exactly. It looks so much better. I mean, you ever notice sometimes when you see somebody and they're wearing an open shirt and the shirt is hiding under the jacket?
Yeah, that's like a limp shirt. That's what I meant by the limp shirt. And that's not a good look. And you're constantly trying to pull the shirt up. It's time to replace that shirt and get a new one.
I think a dress shirt should still be, you know, properly styled even without a tie. Don't you think, Rich?
Yeah, that's very true. If somebody is in front of you or you're behind someone and you're looking at their back and their shoulders, at the back of their suit or the back of their sports coat, you should see the shirt cresting above the jacket.
Exactly.
You're right. If all you see is the jacket, there's something wrong with that shirt. So what you can do is you can actually check yourself before you leave the house. Look in the mirror, look behind you and see, or just ask, is this shirt limp? You know, we've got to eliminate the limp shirts.
Yeah, that's one thing I do notice when I check in the mail. Like, okay, this shirt's on point. It's sitting up nicely up top. Now, it's also another key that I want to mention. It's also the string cutaway. I don't know what it is, Rich, but it's so perfect for the summer, man. But it seems like a summer vibe. How do you feel about that? I think the baby blue colors with stripes, amazing.
Yeah, it does. It has that summertime feel to it. It makes you want to throw on like a lighter
floral,
pastel color or a floral tie with that.
A knit.
Yeah, have a little fun, get funky with it. Go ahead. You know what? You've done a good job in the past painting a mental picture for our audience. Throw together an outfit that we can just kind of listen to you and how would a summer outfit look with a cutaway shirt? How would you style it up?
Oh, I got one real good, Rich. Check it out, man. I have the string cutaway blue pinstripe shirt and knit, whether it be, you know, burgundy, brown, olive color, mustard, one or the other. A nice pair of light wash jeans, you know, rolled up, one little cuff at the bottom, some penny loafers or some monk straps or even some sneakers, and a nice navy blue blazer.
Yeah, I can see that. And top it off, you know, you always got to have your pocket square in there or your lapel pin. That's a great look. I mean, for the summertime, it's...
And let's not forget, let's go sockless too.
Oh yeah, definitely got to go sockless. I want to get your impression since we're talking about shirts. And how about the two-tone shirts? That's a favorite of mine. I like the white collar.
I agree with that. Those are amazing. You know what's good with the two-tones, Rich? The club collar. We forgot to mention that one.
Oh, yeah.
Not that many people wear the club collars. Are beautiful, man.
And those things, club collars are like a dodo bird, though. It's kind of hard to find those. You got to dig on the internet.
I don't know why, man. I mean, listen, if you have any stores that you can find them, let the audience know, Rich.
No, I'm not telling anybody, man. I know where I can get one, but no, I'm joking. Actually, Brooks Brothers, they sell club collar shirts, and then there's a few shirt makers in the UK that sell them as well, but they don't
search
come.
Search online and search on Instagram, too. There's always brands being promoted on there, shirt brands.
Yeah, there's a lot of new brands. I mean, sometimes you go ahead and take a chance on them, and you might be pleasantly surprised with the quality of the shirts. Just because it's a new brand doesn't mean that the quality is going to be inferior. In fact, a lot of times if you go to these department stores, especially the lower end department stores like Sears or JCPenney, and you get these name brand shirts. By the time you take them out the bag, those things are already falling apart.
When it comes to shirts, please keep it simple, man. Get like 3 or 4 blue ones, 3 or 4 white ones. A couple of maybe striped ones here and there, you know, mixed in. You should have about 10 to 15 shirts.
Yeah, if you have that, I mean, the combinations you can put together are endless.
But the collar, like we talked about, is the key, guys. You have that collar, it's going to set you apart, man.
Yeah, that's definitely the key. So if anything we can take away from this segment is don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and try some new type of collar. And also, be aware of a limp collar and get those out of your wardrobe.
Yeah. Also, the good thing about, one more thing about actually the actual blazer worn on top of the shirt, preferably a nice wider lapel would be nice to complement the shirts.
Yep, you're exactly right. That's a good point because
I don't know if a skinny lapel is going to cut it.
Nope, it doesn't. It keeps everything in proportion. If you have that widespread, you definitely want to have a wider lapel. I think it's more of like a regal appearance, really. There's really no other way to put it, especially when you put the tie on. Really wear a statement tie. That's what I want to say is wear a statement tie with that because your shirt's already speaking enough just the fact that the way it's cut. So you don't need to go crazy with the colors with it. So let the tie speak.
Also, another thing, too, is you're able to play around with some tie knots that you usually can't do with a more flimsy collar. Right?
Yeah, that's very true too. You know, that's a good point. So I think the more we talk, we're coming up with more and more benefits to trying out the spread collar or the cutaway collar. So everybody, I hope you get a chance to do that this summer. And Dennis, thanks for coming on and making us aware of the possibilities and how we can style it.
Yeah, right now I'm racking them up right now.
Yeah, we can't wait to see what you do with it and let everyone know where they can follow you so we can check out these styles.
All right, man. Follow me at Dennis, D-E-N-I-S, _styles.
All right, that sounds good. Until next time.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to another segment of The Life of a Gentleman when we are joined by one of our recurring guests. You've heard this gentleman come on the show before, and we're happy to have him back because he talks about a lot of positive things that are going on in our community. And so it's always great to connect with Mr. Marcus Strother. How's it going today?
It's going amazing. It's great to be back on the show. I appreciate it and look forward to talking to you.
Yeah, you know, last time you came on, you talked about the DC trip. I was able to see some of the highlights of that trip, and it looked like you guys had a really good time out in our nation's capital.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, the kids right now, we're putting together thank yous for all of the different partners that sponsored the trip, and the kids have written some amazing testimonials about that trip. So it was just a good opportunity and a life-changing experience all around.
Yeah, that's great. It's great that you got a chance to do that, and it's something that will stick with them and they'll remember for a long time. But, you know, we chatted just briefly before we came on air, and you talked about something else that you all have in the works that is going to be life-changing for these young people as well. I'd like for you to go ahead and elaborate on what that is and what you guys have coming and how we can support you.
Sure. So in our curriculum with our Men and Women's Leadership Academy course, we have a piece where we look at the mask. We actually have them do some artwork around how society views them, but then, of course, who they are inside and what people may not know. So with that, we also connected with 916 Inc., which is a great writing program here in Sacramento, who also publishes young authors. And we have put together 175 different poems and prose pieces from the young people that will be coming out in a book. The title of that book is I Will Be.
Oh, that is amazing. So this is a compilation, a group effort that everyone's contributed to a new book that is going to be released. And when you say released, so where will we be able to pick up a copy of this book?
Yeah, so we have partnered with the Cracker Art Museum, which is the local, very strong partner of ours here in Sacramento, Art Museum, where we're going to do the release to push it out, and they're actually going to hang the mask and different art pieces that the kids have done. So that will be the pre-launch of pushing it out locally. Then within hopefully 3 to 4 weeks, it will be available on Amazon. So as soon as we are ready to go with that piece, I'll share that link with you all and put it on our page as well and be able to push that out. So Amazon is where it will be available to purchase.
All right. That's awesome. We'll be able to get a chance to pick up a copy and definitely support you all. Now, who came up with the idea of this book and how did it really come about?
So that's the amazing piece. You know, a lot of times people talk about Youth Voice and we simply don't really give the kids the opportunity to be able to talk about who they want to be and what they would like to see. What's great about 916 Inks is we were able to bring them over to the Imaginarium, which is a facility that they have. And we sat down with the kids and a lot of the adults just kind of threw out some ideas and threw out some prompts around, what do you want to talk about? What do you think this book should be able to share with the world? And the young people came up with the ideas that we want them to know that the narrative about young men and young women, especially young men and young women of color, is not what people think it is. So we want to be able to talk about that. So they were able to put together their own pieces, as well as each school did a group poetry as well, where they all wrote 2 to 3 lines that put together a full poem. So it was all this entire idea of this book and the way that it pushed out is all crafted from the young people, just facilitated with the adults, but the young people came up with the idea. So we're really, really excited about what's happening with this.
Yeah, that is very exciting. I'm sure that the kids are excited to get their hands on a printed copy of their book and see this finished work. What's been some of the feedback you've been getting from the kids? Now, I'm thinking that maybe that their view of themselves has changed. You know, they've got to feel like they've accomplished something with this. What's the feedback you've been getting?
I will share with you a story of one of our young men who also went to Washington, D.C. with us. You know, and he's a 14, about to be 15-year-old freshman. And I got the opportunity to sit in the car with him one day while we were driving, and he called his mother. And he was talking about the book, and he was talking about D.C., and he was talking about the different poetry pieces that he's put together. And all he could say to his mom was, "I am 14 years old, Mom, and I'm going to change the world. I know I'm going to change the world." So that is a very relevant narrative that a lot of our young people have been sharing, not only with the D.C. trip, but being in a place where they are now able to say that they are published authors is huge for them at 14, 15, 16, you know, some of them 17 years old, to be able to now say that in their history, in their narrative, in the stories that they will share, they will be able to talk about the fact that they are a published author, which has just been, again, you know, a life-changing experience. And it didn't take us going to D.C. to do that one. It was a matter of just working here in the community and putting the work together and watching them go through the experience of that. So that has been great for us.
Yeah, that's got to be really rewarding because their self-esteem, you know, is so important at that age. And hearing that young man say he's going to change the world, that's got to put a smile on your face. You're really affecting the way that these kids view themselves and the possibilities for the future, wouldn't you say?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And like I said, we'll come back on and talk a little bit later in a few weeks, I'm sure. But past the book, we are going to be pushing out a documentary of the D.C. trip, which we have already gotten a couple phone calls from the American Black Film Festival, as well as Pitch Miami, to be able to bring what we're hoping to be about a 25-minute documentary of the young people, which the trailer is already out on social media about the work. So, yeah, you know, all I can do is smile every day and just kind of have conversations with my wife on a continuous basis and my team and just talk about the things that are happening with the young people and just get excited. So, you know, it's a reason to wake up every day. It's my why, along with my own kids, my own family, you know, the kids in the community. That's my why. So definitely puts a smile on my face every day.
Yeah, we can tell because it seems like you're always busy doing something and pushing the envelope to the next level. And that documentary is just a testament to that because I had a chance to see the trailer. It looks very interesting and engaging. I think the audience and those that get a chance to see it are really going to fall in love with what you're doing.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. Now, you mentioned being a father yourself and setting an example for your own kids. You know, that's a full-time job in itself. What is the most rewarding thing that you get out of being a father?
You know, the most rewarding thing that I get out of being a father is really just the opportunity to be able to shape three young people that I know are going to share the same passion and work for the community and for their own families one day, and just being able to see them thrive and grow as young people. It takes a village, so we have a lot of great people that are also a part of their lives. But for me, it's just waking up every day, and you know, my daughter just finished her junior year. She's getting ready to be a senior, and just thinking about that journey of, you know, the last 13 years of school, watching her finish with a 3.5 GPA her junior year and moving into getting ready to hopefully go to college and be a marine biologist, which is her aspirations. You know, so it's just rewarding for me to be able to see them grow into great human beings. And a lot of times I tell people, I just want my kids to be good humans. You know, if they work at McDonald's, they work at McDonald's. If they change the world, you know, doing community advocating, then that's what they do. But that doesn't really matter to me. I just want them to be good humans. And I know that we have raised three amazing young people who are continuously with an open heart trying to take care of everybody that they can. So, you know, that puts a smile on my face. And hopefully, you know, I can attribute that to my boys come with me to as much as I can bring them to with the Men's Leadership Academy events. Our daughter has traveled to the Dominican Republic and helped us build the schools and be a part of that work. So hopefully all of those things attribute to who they have become as young people. And just yesterday, our sons came home from their friend's house and said, the grandmother of where they were said, man, your boys have the greatest manners I've ever seen on young people. Like, that is great. You know, and those things put a smile on your face when you can just feel like, okay, you know, they leave us and they're good away from us as well. And that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's awesome. It seems like, you know, you have a great relationship with your kids and you set a really great example for all of us in the community. So let's get a little word of advice from you. What advice would you give to anybody who's a new father out there that wants a mentor to look up to? What would you tell them, some things that would be good to think about with their children?
That's a great question. A good friend of mine, who many of you may know from the movie Freedom Riders, April Hernandez Castillo, she and I were talking recently, and her husband were saying, man, you guys do a great job with your kids. And they have two very young daughters, one being just a few months old that they just had. And she asked kind of that same question and wanted to be able to share. And, you know, a couple things that I talked about was, one, just really being open to the opportunity of understanding that you're not going to be able to do it alone. You know, so trusting that other people in the community can help you raise your kids and hope that you get good people in their life is great. You know, sometimes we hold our kids, you know, to a place where we don't want them to go out and we don't want them to be around, but they have to experience life. And you just have to trust that, you know, there's good people in the world that'll do that. Another piece that I would say in terms of advice is really, if you're married or if at least having a good relationship with the partner that you have your child with, is being on the same page with that person, being able to share in the responsibilities and being able to make sure that you walk that journey together, whether you're married or not. You know, making sure that all of the things that you are doing are in the best interest of your child, and making sure that you're making good decisions for them. And the last piece that I would say is really just making sure that you pray every day, you know, and ask for guidance to be able to lead your young people in the right direction, because they are going to follow you. And they are looking up to, especially young men looking up to their fathers, but even daughters, you know, looking up to their fathers. You are the first man that your daughter will have in their life. And the person that you show her that a man is supposed to be, 9 times out of 10 becomes the man that she looks for later when she decides to have a partner in life. Just thinking about that and making sure that you are showing them who they need to be in life, and not being afraid to make mistakes and talk through those mistakes and, you know, fail as much as you can, but learn from those failures so that you can be a good father to your son and your daughter. And then just love them. Just love them as much as you can all the time. You know, my kids, every morning since the day they started school, they have heard the same thing from me. And I tell them to go out and be a genius, be a leader, and come home and teach daddy something that he didn't know. And hopefully that stays with them throughout the day as they're making decisions and thinking about the things that they are doing away from us on a daily basis.
Oh, man, I love that answer, Marcus. That was some great advice that you can give, you know, because we have a lot of people that listen to the show and they're at different stages in their life. And so getting some advice from a seasoned parent is always great to have. And as you mentioned, we'd love to have you come back on in the near future and talk about the documentary and learn a little bit more about that and how that's progressing. But until that time, can you let us know how we can get in touch with you or follow you to stay updated?
Most definitely, as always, my cell phone number is 815-793-5537. Definitely feel free to give me a call. Always love to have conversation. Social media, you can find me on Twitter at IamEducated. My Instagram is Marcus.Struther. And of course, on Facebook, it is my name. And all of our social media for Men's Leadership Academy is at MLA Sacramento. And we are currently, I don't know, Richard, if you got the chance to see, but we are currently pushing out our Women's Leadership Academy logo, asking for some support on what design we should have. And our curriculum is just about complete for that. I got two more units to write. So soon we will have our social media pieces for Women's Leadership Academy and look forward to being able to share that with you all as well.
That sounds great, Marcus. We'll definitely keep in touch. And until next time, take care.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Gentleman's Look. This is a segment where we dive into men's fashion and get some perspective on how we can elevate our style and bring it to the next level. Today is a special day. We have someone new to the podcast that we would like to welcome to the audience. We are joined by none other than The Suburban Gent. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Rich, man. Thanks for having me on the show, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we are so glad you can join us. Everyone, if you have a chance, you have to check out his Instagram feed, The Suburban Gent. There are so many great images and information. You guys are going to be blown away. So it's going to be great to talk to you, to get some of these tips. And you know what? Why don't you just briefly just give us a little highlight about who you are and what you do before we get started, since this is your first time on the show.
The Suburban Gent. My name's Nick. I'm also branded as The Suburban Gent here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a menswear blogger, but I'm also an image consultant. Aside from blogging and, you know, informing guys on how to wear things and what they should be wearing, I also consult guys face to face, you know, in person, going through their closets, you know, cleaning out their closets, helping them start off with a good base style, and then I'll get their wardrobe set up and ready for them just to kind of, you know, reinvent themselves, you know, consulting them basically on their image. And so when I do that, guys help me get personal with them. And so we take a whole different road to customer service with those guys. That's all I really do here in Nashville. My passion is to teach guys how to just dress better, how to style better. And my biggest perfection is in sartorial clothing. So a lot of suits, shirts, and ties, and teaching guys how to wear those things properly as well. But that's just a quick general overview of what I do.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I think that what you just said is going to be great for this audience, because everybody wants to step up their look. And, you know, really for me, in my eyes, you know, the pinnacle of really dressing sharp would be wearing a suit and tie. And that really professional upscale
right.
Look.
I think a good thing to kind of dive into is I think that most of the things we'll dive into with me is going to be based off of sartorial clothing. So I think the first subject I think we should talk about, and I think is very important, guys, kind of oversees the construction of your suit. I think that'd be a great thing to kind of go over today, and I think it'll help guys kind of view the importance of construction of suits and not just buying a suit just because of the suit, but because of the quality of the garment and what that quality can actually do for somebody.
You know, that sounds really interesting, and I think that's a good point. Like you said, sometimes we go to the store and we're hasty. We just pick something up off the rack and just grab something, but it's not really going to meet our needs. So why don't you dive in, give us a few tips on what we need to do, and go ahead. I can't wait to hear the first one.
When it comes to sartorial clothing, it's all about fit. And so most people generally just go off of fit, and this is why guys kind of go off the rack and they try something on and they say, okay, yeah, that fits. It's slim enough or it's big enough for me. But the one thing they always overlook is the construction. Is that a fused garment? Do you even know what fused is? Is it a half canvas garment? Is it a full canvas garment? Is it deconstructed? Those four options there is the options that everybody has when it comes to your suit. And most of the guys, about 60% of the guys I come across of don't even know that their suits are glued, and about 90% of the guys I come across of don't even know the differences between the construction. That's an issue. I think the biggest tip I can give, first off right now, is don't ever buy a fused garment. A fused garment is glued, essentially. It's a fancy word for glue. It's a fancy word for very hard, strong, stock glue. A lot of guys, they don't know that their suits are completely glued in the inside of their garment, and they're totally unaware of it. And over time, when you take it to the dry cleaner, what glue's going to do, it's going to come undone. It's not going to stick together, and next thing you know, you got your fabric starting to bubble up all over the chest, all over the bottom half of the suit, and it just looks terrible. And on top of that, when you buy a fused garment, the brand that you're probably buying it from isn't a good quality brand if they're willing to sell you a suit for $800 that's completely glued. The markup on that suit is horrendous. You're buying a really crappy quality suit at that point. It's the worst suit you can get. The question I always get when it comes to fused garments is there ever a time and place for a fused garment? And personally, if I were to be a straight up snob, I'd probably say no. But, you know, some guys, they can't afford a nicer suit that's canvas. Sometimes those prices are a little too up there, and sometimes the fused garment is a cheaper way to go, and that's all they can afford. I understand that. It's totally understandable. Now, when it comes to buying a fused suit, you got to know the price that is okay to buy a fused suit at. And I would say you should probably pay no more than $250 for a fused suit. Now, think about it. You have a couple brands out there, like, let's say there's a brand called Jose Bank. Okay. Jose Bank, they'll do deals for $300, $400, $600. That, I would say, is an okay deal because you're paying $200 a suit and they're fused garments. And so when you do that, I think that's a great deal for your glued garment piece. But sometimes they'll do a buy one, get one free, and their suits are $600, so you're paying $300 for a suit. Sometimes they have a premium line where it's a better fabric or something in the suit is made in Italy, which doesn't really make a difference. They price it up even more, but the construction of the suit is still the same. They probably have a better fabric, maybe, but the construction is still the same. And so there, once you start hitting the dollar mark, you should be really reconsidering where you're going to buy.
The first question that I think everyone will want to know is, what is the surefire ways to know that the suit is fused? Because, you know, just out of ignorance, we might go into the store and think we're buying great quality, and, you know, we can base it off the price, like you said, but is there any other indications?
Yeah, that's a great question. What these garments have, they have a synthetic, like, cotton piece inside of the garment where the canvas would originally be at. So what they do, they have this really thick piece in there because they have to glue something in there. They can't just use glue, and, you know, because glue won't just stay in its place. Pinch the top layer of the fabric from the top button and the middle button of your suit. If it's a two-button single-breasted suit, go right in between those two buttonholes and pinch the top layer of fabric and separate it from the synthetic piece inside of the suit. And if you pull that apart and you start to hear a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a rip, or not really rip, but if you start to hear a little ripplings, you feel like some strings are coming detached, that's 100% a fused suit. To know whether or not it's ripplings or it's you rubbing up against the canvas, because canvas isn't really, it is not a soft piece. Canvas is a pretty rough piece of fabric. And sometimes what happens is that guys will do that, and what they're actually doing is they're just rubbing the fabric against the actual canvas. And so they think that, oh, it's a fused garment because it sounds like rippling when you rub that canvas against a fine piece of wool.
Okay.
So when you do that, what you want to do is make sure that you're actually pulling. You're not rubbing it together, because when you rub it, that's when you'll start to push the canvas and the fabric together, and that's when you'll start to think it's a fuse when it's not. So you want to make sure you stick the pulley. Pull it, and if you feel like it just keeps coming undone, the more you go towards the inside of the suit, and it's coming undone even more, and you start to hear the rippling, like pulling tape off of a piece of paper.
Oh, there you go. That's what I had in my mind. I think you painted a really good picture of that sound so that we have something to look for as a starting point. But let me ask you this. You've talked a lot about the fuse suit and how we need to pretty much stay away from that. Can you break down good, better, best, and the price points that we can probably assume that we're going to have to pay for each level of the suit wear?
All right, great question. For better suits, so I personally love half-canvas garments. Half-canvas suits are a lot of the suits that are made today. Brands like Ted Baker, Hart Schaffner and Marks, then you also have a brand called 11D. You have plenty of brands that do half-canvas garments. It's a little cheaper in manufacturing, but it's also still a good constructed suit because the half-canvas is stitched instead of glued. It all comes down to the study of the brand. You have a half-canvas garment in Hart Schaffner Marks. Suits for them start at, it's a classic American brand, they're made in USA. They start at $695 for a suit. Think about the different brands there are. You have Hart Schaffner Marks at $695 for a suit. Half-canvas, stitched canvas suit. Versus, let's take Hugo Boss, for example. Hugo Boss is a completely fused garment that start off at $7.95.
Mm.
So, and my question is to a lot of customers is, why would you pay that for a fused garment when you could pay $100 less for an even better constructed garment that's going to last you longer and look better?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is that based off branding of the Hugo Boss name? Not to pick on them, but would that be a reason?
No, that's a huge reason. Marketing takes, I think in general, we all know this, but marketing takes a huge place in the value of things. Marketing can take, if you have really good marketing, you can take a crappy product and turn it into an amazing product by simply marketing it. So when you hear Hugo Boss, it still sounds like a really great name. Like even today, I know how stuff is made there. It sounds like a cool name. It sounds like, oh, wow, Hugo Boss. But they're marketing experts, and I give them that. They're one of the best brands to market anything. And so that's exactly why they can price their suits, or that's why they do price their suits to be more expensive than other brands. So this is one reason why I do my blog, is to teach guys that, so when they know the difference in quality, they know that they don't need to ask a salesperson, is this suit better than that one? Because the salesperson is a salesperson. They're
exactly.
Going to sell you on, they're going to sell you on something where they can get commission off of. Now, if you come across someone that's a consultant versus a salesperson, the consultant could consult you to get the better piece for you. And so that's exactly why. And so half-canvas garments, they're a great suit. Now, the thing about half-canvas garments is that it's a good structure from your chest down to your mid-abdomen. And it's only in the front of the suit. That's where canvas lies. And so you have two options when it comes to canvassing. You either have a hand-stitched canvas or you have a machine-stitched canvas. Now, the difference in stitching, a hand-stitch is stronger. Machine stitches are kind of cut straight forward. They don't really have a smooth hand to it. Let's just say that because a machine kind of goes and they stitch at, 100 stitches per second, where when you have a hand-stitched canvas, it's kind of it flows a lot more naturally, a lot more easier, and that canvas is going to shape to you the more you wear it. So now you have a half-canvas garment like Hart Schaffner that's done by machine, but then say take 11D for example, they have a half canvas garment that is done by hand. Actually, their whole suits are almost completely done by hand. And the difference in price, Hart Schaffner starts at $6.95, 11D starts at, I believe, $9.95. So there's a difference in price, but you have someone sitting at a table, sewing the piece versus a machine kind of doing the whole process.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
It can make a difference for sure. And now it comes down to whether or not guys appreciate that quality more than the other. Because some guys, they just care about price and they want to just go based off the price. And they know they both have canvas, so they're just going to go with Hart Schaffner or just a cheaper brand. But when you got guys that really feel the difference, they don't go back. That's what I would say is a little bit about half canvas. Half canvas, I would say the lowest price I would think you would find a half canvas garment for would be around $6.95. And the highest it can go up to, half canvas garment can go up to, I believe, like it can go up to $1,500. And if you do a custom suit, you're picking a really expensive fabric, it can go upwards to $3,000.
Wow.
Now it all comes down to a bunch of different things that, which we'll talk about in another segment for sure. But when it comes down to They have different fabrics and stuff like that can definitely change the price of the suit. But when it comes to just off-the-rack suiting, you should look to pay between $6.95, and I would say the most I would pay for a half-canvas garment is probably $12.95.
Okay. Well, thank you for that breakdown. And lastly, before we round out this segment, give us one final tip on this subject. I'm curious to see what that tip's going to be.
So I would say the last tip I could give you guys is, I would say really, really make sure that the canvas is full canvas and half-stitched, or is hand-stitched. By that is, when you have a full canvas garment, it's completely full from top to bottom, and it's easier to breathe, it shapes to your body. The more you wear it, it shapes to the whole thing. Example is Edelman and Gildo Zegna. It's a great brand for full canvas garments. The way they hand-stitch the piece, when you put it on, it feels amazing, it feels great, and they use a lightweight canvas, and so that is a great weight for you. It's not too heavy, it's easy to breathe still, and it doesn't feel like a cheap, it's not cheap, so it feels really great. It feels like it's part of your body. With this last tip, know the weight of your canvas. If you live in Nashville, where I live, you're going to want a lightweight canvas. If you live in Chicago, you're going to want a heavier canvas. And so usually sometimes they mix, it's a mixture of horsehair and camel hair, or it's just horsehair. So it's either tropical weight or it's not. And so the way you would find that out is by studying the brand. If you're a salesperson that you deal with knows these things already, and you can tell by it when they talk about it. When they just say canvas and they say nothing else, and they're not really going into that detail like you want them to, then they probably don't know. You can find a lot of this information, like I said, on my blog. I write a lot about it, or just simply typing it in online and just seeing for your guys, for yourselves to know. But I would say know the weight of your canvas, know half full canvas and which one fits you best, and don't ever get few suits. I think that's how I would close this segment out here.
All right, that's perfect. Now, let everyone know the name of your blog, and we can't wait to have you on again next time to break down some more information about sartorial clothing for us.
Great, yeah. So, again, my name's Nicholas, but I'm also known as The Suburban Gent. I'm on Instagram as The Suburban Gent. You can also check out my blog at thesuburbangent.com. You know, subscribe to my newsletter there, and if you're ever interested in image consulting as well, that's where I have all my clients go through. It's a portal on my website, thesuburbangent.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Nicholas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for tuning into yet another episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We always have a good time creating new episodes for you. We are all on this journey together, and we do our best to release episodes which reflect that. At the top of the show, Dennis Stiles joined Rich, and they talked about shirts and different types of shirt collars. They also gave their tips on how to pair it with a tie and how the different collars give you a different look. Then Marcus Strother of the Men and Women's Leadership Academy discussed the new book his students are coming out with and will be available for purchase on Amazon soon. He will let us know the release date and will be sure to keep you posted on that. He also talks about being a positive influence and example for children and young adults. Lastly, we have a new voice, Nicholas, who is also known as the Suburban Gent, chimes in for our segment, The Gentleman's Look. Nicholas talks about suit construction and what type of suits are worth buying and even their price points. We thank all of our guests and, as always, our host, Richard, for making this episode a guide to continue living by the gentleman's code. Please subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman to stay up to date with our episodes, and feel free to rate and review The Life of a Gentleman so we can grow from your feedback. Follow us on Instagram at Gentleman's Podcast. That and all contact information for guests is available in the description. And until next time, take care. These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.